did want to acknowledge at the outset that the source of this research is the National Cancer Institute's State Cancer Legislative Database Program. Our project officer is here in the audience, Regina L. R. Cully. If you have any questions about the program or about the database afterwards, you can feel free to approach either of us. Okay, so the purpose of the presentation is to examine the extent to which states have passed laws addressing the disparities in cancer incidence and morbidity and mortality, and also to look at the types of legislation that states are choosing to undertake in this area. This presentation, because of the time constraint, is a very broad 30,000 feet overview. I'm going to throw a lot of information at you, and the slides will be available both on the SCLID website and on the APHA website. There are handouts if you want to have information to take home with you. So I apologize for the racing nature of this, but I wanted to get as much information in your pocket as I can. So this is some of the background information that you can take home with you. I'm not going to go through each of these in detail, but suffice it to say that research has clearly shown that certain racial and ethnic minority groups, low-income and uninsured individuals, bear a greater cancer burden. They are less likely to have received adequate screening for cancer, less likely to participate in prevention activities or to be sought to participate in such activities, and more likely to be diagnosed at a later stage of cancer when the cancer is less treatable. This is true in cervical cancer, colorectal cancer, breast cancer. Research has also shown that certain racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups also have a greater prevalence of behavioral risk factors, including smoking and obesity. Again, these studies show that workforce diversity and cultural competency training are linked to improved access and therapeutic outcomes in the area of cancer. So again, the data source for this research is NCI's State Cancer Legislative Database. Disparities was added as a new topic this year in September, largely due to the funds that were added through NCI's Center to Reduce Cancer Health Disparities. Tarsha McRae is here from the center if you have any questions about CRCHD. As of today, we have 180 year-end status records, which are the state of the law as of the end of 2006, and 93 general legislation records, which are 2007 bills that were enacted as of September 30th of this year. We took these abstracts that were enacted, as I said, as of September 30th. We performed a qualitative content analysis to identify laws addressing cancer disparities. The search strategy that we used is rather complex, so if you have specific questions about it, I'll answer them at the end. But basically, we looked for laws that use the word cancer or one of its synonyms, neoplasia, neoplasm, or a term that was most likely meant to include cancer, such as life-threatening, even in some cases, chronic disease. These were taken on a case-by-case basis. That term had to be used in the same paragraph as a selected population term, or the term health disparities, health inequities, or one of its synonyms. I will refer to the phrase disparities populations quite a bit in the presentation. These are the populations that we screen for in legislation. Various racial ethnicity groups, socioeconomic groups, including uninsured individuals, and other, including immigrants, age-based classifications, rural, urban, and gender. Okay, so this is what we found. Many states have chosen to pass legislation requiring research or state-funded research in the area of disparities, recognizing the need for accurate data in this area, the dearth of data regarding racial-specific, in particular, morbidity, incidence, and mortality rate data has been a serious impediment to policy action and to research, actually. So some examples of this are California's campaign that must include statistical research on cancer incidence to identify target regions in the state for policy intervention. Illinois has created a task force to use public health data to address racial, ethnic, and or other health disparities. This is a graphic depiction to show you where in the country these research legislation has been passed. There are 27 states that have enacted such legislation. States have also chosen to act in the area of primary prevention, preventing cancer before it sets in by controlling behavioral and environmental risk factors in populations that are experiencing cancer disparities. Arizona, for example, designates money to be used for public education on tobacco use reduction programs that are targeted at minors of culturally diverse populations. West Virginia includes a program that aims to prevent oral cancer in high-risk, underserved populations. And again, here is a pictorial representation of the states that have passed such legislation. There are 31 states. States have also addressed screening and treatment programs for underserved populations. And this depiction shows that in the area of breast and cervical cancer in particular, that states are seeking to implement screening programs for such populations, and to a lesser extent, treatment programs. These are the states that have implemented these types of legislation. The ones in red are states that have implemented both cancer treatment and cancer screening programs. The ones in gray are states that have only cancer treatment programs. There are six. And the states in kind of a mauve-y color are those six states that have addressed only cancer screening programs. So moving on to the states that have passed mandatory reimbursement laws for disparities populations regarding screening and treatment. The interesting thing to note here is, again, the most activity in the legislation surrounds breast and cervical cancer, but you'll notice that it's flip-flopped here between screening and treatment. It's the opposite trend that we saw in programs. More states are requiring reimbursement for treatment and screening for breast and, for treatment than for screening. This is probably due to states opting to offer treatment for breast and cervical cancer through Medicaid. In 2000, Congress passed the Breast and Cervical Cancer Prevention and Treatment Act, which gives states this option to allow states to offer people treatment through Medicaid. That's probably why we're seeing this trend. And again, here's the pictorial representation. Again, the states in red are those that have both screening and treatment reimbursement laws. Those in gray are those that have only cancer treatment reimbursement laws. There are 21. And the one state, there are two states, oh, I forgot, Delaware there, has laws addressing only cancer screening reimbursement. Okay, so workforce laws. These are really interesting. These are laws that are designed to, we include two different kinds of legislation in this topic area of workforce. First, they're legislation that either seeks to increase the number of minorities or other underrepresented individuals in biomedical research, healthcare, or public health careers. This includes things like recruitment, school-based interventions to try to get kids interested in these careers, and scholarships. We also, under this topic area, seek to see kind of legislation that seeks to improve the ability of the current biomedical healthcare workforce to adequately serve the needs of underserved populations. So that includes things like training or education in cultural competency issues, language training, cultural training incentives to medical providers to serve in underserved areas, geographic areas, and also curriculum guidelines. So this is a breakdown of what we found for these various workforce subtopic areas. As you'll notice, there are, 15 states that have passed competency training legislation, and 14 states have passed recruitment legislation to try to recruit minorities and underserved individuals into the healthcare workforce. What else do we have there? I'm sorry, I'm like blind. Okay. Oh, there are 13, I'm sorry. Okay, and then the medical careers and the science careers, that seeks to find out what kinds of careers the legislation is trying to recruit people into. And as you can see, states are much more actively trying to recruit individuals into medical careers than biomedical sciences. Again, this is a map showing the states that have passed workforce laws, either addressing diversification of the healthcare workforce or the ability of the current health services workforce to address the needs of underserved populations. There are 22 states that have passed this type of legislation. Awareness probably has the least amount of teeth, which is why I put it at the end, in case I ran out of time. But these kinds of laws range from awareness weeks, awareness months, to awareness components of larger programs. So, for example, there might be a screening program that also requires a public education of the awareness of the problem with health disparities. We would code that. We would code that as awareness also. So some examples are Alabama's week in April that was designated as Minority Cancer Awareness Week, and Florida's legislation that established a program that commissioned recommendations for closing gaps in health outcomes and increasing the public's awareness and understanding of health disparities. There are 17 states that have passed cancer disparities awareness legislation. I just want to show you a breakdown by topic area of where states are being most active. By far, states are, being most active in primary prevention, treatment reimbursement laws, and screening programs and treatment programs, much lesser extent screening reimbursement and awareness. But it's pretty even, ranging from 31 to 10 states. Again, another interesting depiction of the population group that these laws are targeting. Low income is far and away the most common with 107 pieces of legislation, followed by women, age-based legislation, which includes children and the elderly, followed by the uninsured. And the least common legislation that we saw was addressing immigrants and Asian Pacific Islanders urban populations. So in conclusion, research has demonstrated the need for policy action to address the symptoms and the causes of health inequities. Every state, including Washington, D.C., has recognized this problem by enacting laws that either address access to primary prevention, screening, and treatment for cancer, workforce diversity and training, research, and public awareness. The limitations of the study is that SCLID does not monitor state administrative regulations, attorney general opinions, executive orders, court decisions, or local ordinances. So this is strictly a state statutory analysis. Another limitation is that there are many factors that, as you know, that factor into health disparities that are not monitored by SCLID. So, for example, education policy, zoning, fair housing laws, environmental justice, neighborhood safety, and violence prevention all have a major impact on the community's health. And those are very difficult to capture in any kind of database. So with that, I will leave you with the SCLID website. This presentation will be posted there. It's also a fully searchable online database where you can search for these laws yourself if you're interested in a specific population or topic area. So feel free to visit this. I have SCLID brochures near the door also if you want to take one of those with you. References. And there's the contact information if you have any questions.